Dante, what do you bring to the field?
Nastiness. That's what I bring. I'm just a nasty person, a fun person on top of that.
When he arrives in a tackle, it's with bad intentions.
And it's sacked. That was Dante Fowler rolling in.
With the third pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Dante Fowler, Jr., defensive end, Florida. This is the most gifted edge rusher of the class.
He is an absolute freak. There's very few guys that you just sit there and you go, wow. Did God ever grace him with great physical talent? And he's one of those guys.
Dante Fowler's a real damn deal. I don't care if it's like an hour. The kid steps on the field and you realize immediately he's different.
Dante Fowler is a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, and Ryan O'Halloran, thank you very much. What about Ryan O'Halloran? The real damn deal himself, the original real damn deal. Thank you, Tyler Devitt and Ryan O'Halloran. We didn't forget you. Tyler did.
He retweeted me like an hour ago.
Did he? Forgot. I don't know. He's a young kid. He's got... visions of Jordan D'Armond dancing in his head. What can you do with the guy, right? We're going to make this uncomfortable for Tyler now.
A good excuse.
Yeah, she's a nice young lady, man. And, guys, I'll give the guy credit. That's pretty good. Breakup long distance over the phone is pretty crappy.
Yes.
Right? So I guess I give him some points for making the drive.
Some points. It probably got a little bit awkward. Apparently, she was planning on having him stay with her, and she was like, okay, and he just slept on the couch. Like, they broke up, and then he just slept on the couch.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would have made alternate arrangements if I was him.
I wouldn't have said,
hey, I'm going to break up, but the couch looks comfy. Don't know if that's
Jordan's
cool.
Probably driving home cringing right now.
No, Jordan, we're talking you up. You're a catch, and that guy's an idiot, all right? She should not be cringing right now. I don't know Jordan's life, and she'll, I'm sure, bounce back and get far better than Tyler Devitt on the rebound. I'll tell you that. All right, what about Dante Fowler Jr.? You want to talk about most eligible? Let's not call him solid, please. He's looked good, Ryan O'Halloran. First week plus a training camp. Not to get crazy about a guy who's never played a snap in the NFL, but hard not to have him catch your eye.
Yeah, I want to make a quick shout out to the opposite of a breakup. It's my parents' 44th wedding anniversary today.
Very cool.
Congratulations to the O'Hallorans. They're tuned in on 1010XL.com.
And they are.
Excellent.
So they always listen to the app, so that's out of the way. Fowler, it's hard not to get fired up, so you can get a little bit of excited. The thing that's impressed me the most is the power. You've seen all his clips, and you've seen the OTAs where he has, like, going around the edge, he has great speed, but running people over has been a surprise, and that's the guy you want to see next Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm with you on the power because he's not that Bruce Smith-sized defensive end.
He's given away
30 pounds, 40 pounds on some price. Yeah. I mean, he is stacking guys at the line of scrimmage. Nobody's pushing him back, and he is... Boy, that one he put on Josh Wells, where he basically ragdolled him in a one-on-one drill. I don't know if you remember that one. It is very impressive stuff. And you love the fact that Todd Wash brought up the other day that he's asking, what do I need to do to slow down? You know, how do I dial it back in practice?
Because Tuesday he thumped Ivory downfield. Chris wasn't expecting it. So he had to go checked out because he got up limping a little bit. So I think that got the attention. Hey, love the motor, downshift a little bit.
Right.
Save it for the opponent. But I think yesterday's day off, that's 2 and 4 days for him, 2 and 5 days for Fowler. I like how they're managing him because ultimately the goal is to be ready for week one.
Right, and it's not a case, Tony, where it's not like Kelvin Beachum where you're trying to – I think he's got the all clear. It's evident that it's an all clear situation. But
oh, yeah.
Like Ryan said, let's not peak in the middle of August, right?
And it's the same reason that they moved to practice to the night on Sunday. They wanted to get him out of the heat. It's the same reason that yesterday they weren't in full pads. Instead, they were just in the helmets and shorts yesterday for practice. They're trying to get all these guys ready. And with a guy like Dante coming off an ACL injury, whether he needs the day off or not, it's not a bad thing to occasionally give him the day off. And I think it points to something else, you know, talking about Dante Fowler that we can get into here in just a moment as we rip into Jaguars today. But Dante is going up against the Jaguars offensive lineman too. And I'm not saying that Dante doesn't look like he's a dominant athlete, but it's a little bit scary with what you're talking about, him pushing everybody around on that offensive line that really hasn't been good for the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, a guy like Parnell, Parnell's got strength, right? He's got functional game strength, and I've seen him match up with him and match that strength. So you're right. I mean, it's always that balancing act, right? We see big plays in the passing game at the expense of the secondary. We see a pick six. Well, that's great for Telvin. Not so great for Blake yesterday. So, you know, it's a little bit of give and take there.
Well, that's where Gus is having to restrain himself because he got to the podium yesterday. Great start by the defense. Two interceptions. I really liked it.
Not so good by the offense.
Offense, we have to get better off to a faster start. So, you know, this yin and yang. But, I mean, what Gus is excited about is that he sees a pulse on both sides. And you see a lot of back and forth. You know, they'll have a good series and the offense will move down the field, then interception. So I think it's a much more competitive atmosphere.
All right, Ryan O'Halloran, Sear, Fat Tony's here on Mike Dempsey. Question of the day on this Friday. Friday's, by the way, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, as you know. Question of the day presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships is this. What three things are you most looking forward to seeing at tonight's Jaguar scrimmage? In fact, Gus was asked about this. What are the three things he'll be looking for? Here's what Gus Bradley had to say after yesterday's practice.
First, for the coaches, just the coordination, you know, how we do personnel, the communication that takes place, communication that takes on the field. You know, we'll discuss the live periods. In the past, we've had maybe one period where it's the goal line situation. So I think it's assignment and handling, you know, a night practice like that in a heightened environment, the poise part of it. So those concepts.
Those are different things than the typical fan's going to be looking for, obviously. So we want your feedback on that on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Tyler as well. And as you said, one live period. This is not going to be, this is more of a practice than a scrimmage, yeah. Would you say, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year they went live on the goal line. TJ Yeldon broke a finger.
Right.
So they have to be, I mean, if you see some live goal line stuff, I would expect it to be Joe Banyard and Corey
Jonas Grant. Gray, yeah. Or whomever.
Yeah. So see if Gray goes tonight. But yeah, it is, I wouldn't even use the word scrimmage. I would use the word
glorified practice.
Practice, yeah. It in a bigger stadium.
There you go. All right. Well, either way, it's an opportunity for Jaguar fans to go into Everbank, watch your team, have a little fellowship and camaraderie.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, okay, if you're a fan, go tonight. Okay, well, it's at night, so it's going to be better. There's more seating, so you'll be able to watch better from better viewpoints, and you'll get to see what they've done with the joint.
There you go. All right, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey here with you. If you'd like to get in today, 641-1010. We don't take many calls during training camp because it's a different kind of setup, but today's an opportunity if you'd like to get in. We're going to hear from Gus Bradley today. We're going to hear from Malik Jackson, hear a little bit from Dave Caldwell. He was filling in for Gus on the coach's show last night with Jeff Loggeman. So all that coming up today, the Jaguars Facebook page, Jaguars Today Facebook page up and running, and the text line at 641-1010, driven by Duval Ford. You got it, Jaguars Today, kicking off on 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, glad you're along with us here on this Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Jaguars Today, scrimmage time. Got the Hall of Fame game on Sunday.
Thanks, Tyler.
We got the you're welcome. you got the Packers and the Colts. Jags will be on the field next Thursday for a more meaningful type encounter. But this is a great opportunity for you guys to go down, you the Jaguar fans out there, to go down and check out what the progress has been like so far in training camp, whether you've been out to some of these practices or not. It's tough to do on a weekday morning sometimes. It's Friday night. What else are you going to do? Get out of there by, what, 8 o'clock, 8:30, and you got your whole night ahead of you. Mm-hmm. So what are three things, and that's the question today, three things you're looking forward to seeing at the scrimmage tonight? You said I had you stumped a little bit when I posed this question earlier this morning.
Trying to think of three things. First one would be, do they do anything that involves tackling, which would be like with some of the backup players. The second thing is, for a fan coming out there, just keep an eye on Ramsey, just to see who he's covering, what part of the field he's working in. And then the third thing I'm going to look for, since I'll be sitting up higher tonight, is Miles Jack. tough to see when you're at field level what he's doing, how he's moving. And so those are my three things.
Did you get the impression that he did okay the other day when Paul Posluszny had a Veterans Day off?
Yeah, he seemed pretty comfortable because it was good because they were in tight red zone. So I was standing right on the goal line, and you could hear he had a very good command of the defensive huddle. There wasn't a lot of, you know, scrambling in terms of communication. So I think that was a good opportunity for Miles. But it was interesting, before that practice, it looked like the first week, it looked like they were giving him things like piecemeal. He wasn't playing with the ones. He was only, you know, third down, et cetera. Todd Walsh said actually his opposite, throwing everything at him. Well, I think you could throw everything at him in the meeting room and then take it a little bit slower on the practice field.
Yeah, and look, I think we all want to see Miles Jack get on the field as soon as possible, but I don't feel there's any kind of sense of panic in that regard. You know, I think they're okay with the guys that they have with the starting unit out there. Unlike Ramsey needs to play right away, and it looks like he's up to the task, right?
Yeah.
But with Jack, if they ease him in, I don't think they feel like they're missing something right now.
Yeah, and I doubt this goes on in their head in the building, but, you know, if he was the fifth overall pick, would there be a greater sense of urgency to get him on the field?
There might be.
You know,
that's what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
It was like, now it's like, hey, he hasn't played in a game since last October. He didn't practice at all in the offseason, not his fault. So it's almost like he's a month behind, and it's a crash course to get him caught
You're going
to
get a good impact out of this draft right away with Ramsey, Tony playing a ton. Ngakoue looks like he's going to be important in at least the sub-packages on third down. And Sheldon Day has been one of the buzz guys in camp as well for how well he's played. Tony, for you, what are the things you would be looking for tonight?
Well, kind of the same thing. I think for the fans it'll be fun because I do think, look, there's going to be a lot more fans there tonight than there have been at any practice. So I think there will be a lot of people. This is the first time they're putting eyes on the 2016 Jags, and I do think you should be watching Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack and some of these new guys. Dante Fowler, if he's on the field tonight, certainly will be a guy who's going to draw your eyes.
Right, he'll draw your eyes.
Yeah.
You won't have to look for him, I don't think.
Yeah, and look, I think for a team that's having legitimate competition along that offensive line, looking at what's happening with Luke Jokel, wherever the heck he's playing on the field, I think is important tonight. And I want to see a little bit out of the running backs. I don't think you need to see a ton, but a little bit out of the running backs. Last year, obviously, Yeldon broke his finger in this game, this little scrimmage, so you don't want to see anything like that. But it's the first opportunity. These guys are going to be a little bit more juiced up than they have been in any practice. So it's a little bit more live. It's a glorified practice, but it's a little bit more live. You want to see that energy out
a
there.
A big
the
setting.
Field.
It's right for them, too. They're going to get a little bit more fired up to be out there.
And from an offensive perspective, even if it was a day practice or a night practice, the two-minute didn't go great the other day. I want to maybe see a little bit more precision, a little bit more tempo to get into field goal range, because I think that's, first of all, that's entertaining to watch. But they haven't really practiced that a lot. When we've been there, they'd walk through it. So that's another, you know, more situational stuff they'll practice.
Who, in your opinion, will not go tonight? You would think Beachum, right, after two consecutive days where they held him back.
I would guess Beachum. Marquise is still out. I doubt we'll see Linder tonight.
Yeah, he had a groin strain yesterday, and that's a guy you want to be careful with.
Who else didn't practice yesterday? Shaq Evans didn't practice. Jonas Gray didn't practice. I think that was
what's Gray's ailment.
I think it's an ankle.
Okay.
He got hurt like the second to last play of Wednesday's workout, so he got caught up in a pile. So I think the guys that didn't work yesterday for injuries, I wouldn't expect to see them tonight.
I think Jonas Gray's looked good.
I have too.
In that, you know, right? He has jumped out to me every time he's had the ball in his hands. What are they looking at right now, in your opinion, at the running back position? We know Ivory and Yeldon are cemented in there, but how many are they going to keep, and who do you think are the leaders in the clubhouse at the moment?
Well, last year they kept five, which seemed to be too many because they were healthy. Yeldon, there may have been an issue there. But if you keep four, it's going to be tough for that GM to cut Denard Robinson, and it's going to be tough for him to cut Corey Grant. So If I was them, I would keep Yeldon, Ivory, Grant, Gray.
Grant and Gray.
Yeah.
Right now.
That would who I would keep. If they keep five, I think all those guys except for Banyard are safe. But I don't really know why you need five tailbacks unless there's other injuries.
All right. If you if Beecham's not playing, right, if they had to play a game this weekend, Jokel at tackle and Bernadeau at guard, Wells at tackle and Jokel at guard, how do you think they would work that?
I think if it was a regular season game, I think they would put Jokel back at left tackle, because I think they would come to the realization of, okay, we need a better guy at left tackle than what's going out there during these practices, because Josh Wells has struggled his day and a half out there with the first team. What would be interesting is they would have to play Shatley at center, but let's say you get to week one and you have issues at left tackle, left guard. You keep Jokel left tackle. Do you give Shatley a shot at left guard?
At left guard, right? He's a big, powerful guy. That's his calling card.
I mean, he can be probably a little bit stouter. Been disappointed by Bernadeau. Maybe he shows up better in the games, but he had trouble with the snaps yesterday as a center. That was going to be a way he makes the team, as a backup center instead of Shatley. But those are some of the subplots that will begin to play out Thursday night.
And Tony and I talk about this all the time. We appreciate being out there in the atmosphere, being able to talk to you guys. It's easy to be at training camp and see all the fans, but we don't get to see a lot of what is actually happening on the field. What is the, not only your observation, but the sense you get from the coaching staff of where Luke Jokel is on both of those positions right now?
Well, Gus addressed that, because I think they're downplaying the Beecham thing.
The injury situation?
Is it a flare? Is it just regular soreness coming off an ACL? Did he have a setback? If he sits out tonight, that's 3 straight days, plus tomorrow, that's 4 days without practicing. I mean, to me, there's no way you play him Thursday night. He hasn't taken a one-on-one pass protection rep. So that was a storyline yesterday, and I asked Gus, I said, he talked to Jokel for a long time after practice. I said, well, what was that conversation about? I'm guessing I was like, hey, you're doing a good job. Hang in there. Because they're toggling him back and forth with tackle and guard. They say he's making improvements at guard. Luke, on the other hand, he doesn't really want to talk about guard.
Right. I get that.
And I get that, but also the eye test is showing that door is closing.
Right.
I think they showed
the tackle door is closing.
I think they showed their hand yesterday, the last 2 days, because in theory, if Beecham has had a setback, you want Jokel to get as many left tackle reps as possible.
But there is that theory too, Tony, that he knows how to play left tackle. I think I forget who we talked to.
Johnny O.
Was it Johnny O? Yeah. Talked about that. He knows how to play that. He needs to learn the intricacies of playing guard, and that if you felt like, you played tackle basically your whole life, we could sling you out there. It's not like you've forgotten how to play the position. Now, you may not be up to a high level of NFL standard, but you're not going to be a guy who is kind of, lost out there, just sliding back into tackle.
No, and if the plan was, you knew you were going to have to give Beecham a couple days off from time to time, coming back from the ACL, he's been on a practice field with the Jaguars for a week, right? And he's coming off a major knee injury, so if they need to give him a day or two off, and the plan was, well, this is going to be a day where we're going to get Jokel a lot of work at guard, then I don't think you go away from that plan unless you're giving Beecham the day off, like you said, Ryan, because of a setback. The indication is this isn't a setback for Beecham. This is something we expected to have to deal with Beecham coming back from this kind of knee injury, and we're not coming off the plan for what we were going to do with Jokel because we don't feel bad about what's going on with Beecham right now. We're just trying to take it easy with this guy.
I thought one thing Gus said yesterday that was sort of telling, and their company line when they signed Beecham in March all the way through April, maybe mid-August for his debut. If this continues, then the obvious question is, do you regret putting him out there on July 28th? Should you have given him that extra week and a half and made sure he was ready to go and had a stronger knee if he started practicing August 8th?
Right. But here's what Gus said yesterday. He was asked about Jokel's ability to handle both working inside and outside right now.
Very good. Extremely competitive. There's no doubt in our mind he's competing at left tackle, but he's experiencing some really good success at guard. He's doing some really good things there. So what I'm pleased about is he's getting switched around playing guard and tackle, and he's had success at both. He's playing better at tackle. Still, you still see some things he needs to work on, but to have good in both those areas, it shows me more about his mindset. I think he has it'd be interesting for you guys to talk to him, but it feels like it's more clear, focused, and you know, really on track to what he needs to get done.
All right, go ahead.
Well, that his mindset is focused on left tackle. But I think that comment there was sort of a public attaboy, saying, basically telling Luke is, okay, I know you want to play left tackle, but we can't have you there.
Right.
You know, you're going to be on the field against Green Bay most likely, but it's not going to be there.
So even if Beecham is not
going, I think if Beecham is unavailable, then I think Joker will be your left tackle.
He will be your left tackle in that circumstance. Right. Let's hear quickly Gus talking about Tyler Shatley. We mentioned him as looking like he's the primary backup center right now. But the one thing that's always, you know, this his physical nature has been raved about by guys like Jeff Logman last year. He talked him up quite a bit. I question if, you know, with the struggles they had on the offensive line, why didn't he get a crack last year? Here's what Gus said about Tyler Shatley's last few days.
It's been good for him. Yeah. Shatley's greatest strength is his strength. Very strong. Sorry about that. So I should never put it up there, huh? That's his greatest strength, his strength. And, you know, in pass rush drills, you see that. So for him to go through it with the ones, we always challenge the coaches to do it. You saw it with Sheldon Day went with the ones. Jalen's gone with the ones. Miles yesterday went with the ones. And these guys need experience with the first group, and we need to feel how big is it for them.
I thought at first Gus was apologizing for the poor pun. The greatest strength is his strength.
He was like, he knocked one of the recorders off the deal, and I picked it up. And then, of course, we have to make fun of whoever's recorder that
was. Of course. Johnny on the spot. But so we'll see. I think the offensive line combinations that they work out tonight will be one of the interesting things to keep an eye on. 641-1010, if you'd like to get in, what are the three things you're most looking forward to seeing tonight? You can hit us up on social media as well. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. And you know what? Always a great option for lunch. You know, they're a great option for breakfast. Really a great option anytime. How about this plan? You're heading down to the stadium tonight to watch the scrimmage. Load up the cooler with Dandy sandwiches and subs. You're going to make your entire tailgate very, very happy. And get a great variety because they have a great variety. Something for everybody's palate. You're going to find the most fresh, delicious sandwiches. Anytime you pop into a local Circle K or Kangaroo Express, head right to the cold case. That's where you're going to find Dandy with great ingredients, fresh baked bread made here locally, only the highest quality, the companies that they work with, and you're going to find them very affordable as well. Delicious, affordable, good for you. Dandy, it's a complete package. For over 60 years, a local company here, headed up by the Thompson family, big supporters of the local football scene as well. So whether it's lunchtime, breakfast time, anytime you're hungry, snack time, tailgating, do what I do. Go out and make yourselves a Dandy and do it today.
I'm Eli Manning.
Hi, I'm Peter King.
This is Dan Reeves, and you're listening to 1010XL.
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 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to the Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Dirt.
All right.
Dirt.
No Gus there? I thought we were going to hear a little Gus right there. Is that the case? It's all right. We're good.
Defense now, the last day and a half now, or 2 days, very consistent play. Doing a good job. Another two interceptions today, going after the ball. It just, you know, needs to continue in the games.
There he is.
Dirt. I can't believe Sports Illustrated's coming to our practice. Jay Wilson getting some national love.
Oh, Howard is breaking out the hacker early today. Hackers have fired up about some of the national guys coming in.
They're getting some love.
As they make their way around to every camp in the National Football League.
Hack, they go everywhere.
They go everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Peter King will be there tonight, though. If that floats your boat.
That's cool.
Have your boat be floated.
You know, yeah, the NFL Network was out there yesterday with Ian Rappaport and Casserly and
Chuck.
I mean, they're there. They cover it every year at some point in time.
Right. Sirius is coming, I want to say, next week, maybe.
Right.
Something like that.
And everyone's pretty positive about the Jaguars at this point in time, which is not a huge surprise, but if you want 2017 to be positive, you better win some football games in 2016. This whole hope makes you float thing can only last so long, even with the national media guys. At some point, you got to start winning football games if they're going to continue to give you the respect you seem to want, Jacksonville.
All right, I have, as a marvelous transition from that fantastic Gus audio that we just heard, I have the odds, courtesy of our friends at Bovada, the odds to win the NFL Coach of the Year Award this year. Okay, First of all, where do you think Gus Bradley falls on this list?
Every guy gets an odd. There's no field.
I believe everyone gets an odd.
Gus is 200 to 1
to win Coach of the Year, which would make him the. I'll tell you what, I'm going to help you out. The longest odds are 66 to 1.
So Gus is going to be 50.
50 to 1. Tony, what do you think?
I'll go 40.
40 to 1. Tyler Devitt, what you got?
Well, I've seen it. And it's
you have seen it.
You guys aren't even close.
18 to 1. Gus Bradley is ninth best odds to win Coach of the Year. You think about, I guess in this standpoint, everyone's talking about the talent that they've got on the roster, the young talent. And if you come from 5 wins and, say, win 10 the next year, it'd be a pretty good chance that you would win Coach of the Year. You'd be in the running for it, right?
Their odds. Bovada's odds on that aren't in line to what they have as their over-under, which I think is 500 or 7.5.
Okay. So
if they go, I mean.
8-8.
Probably not winning
Coach of the Year.
Yeah,
but he's not the top candidate. So, I mean, you come in 9th to 8-8, and there's a range. Maybe, you win 9 or 10 and slide in the playoffs. If the Jags make the playoffs, Gus Bradley will probably be discussed heavily for Coach of the Year, I would think, right? Who do you think is better odds than Gus Bradley? Who would be the coaches with better odds, shorter odds, more likely to win Coach of the Year than Gus Bradley? The best odds are 7.5 to 1, 15 to 2, same difference.
I don't know. Belichick.
Belichick's 10 to 1, so he's in there. Give me one, O'Halloran.
Tomlin.
Tomlin is 12 to 1. You got him. Who else? Just jump in if you got one. Who else do you think's better odds, Coach of the Year?
McCarthy.
McCarthy is 9 to 1. He is third best.
Arians.
Arians is tied for the top spot. 7.5 to 1, 15 to 2. He is the odds on favorite to win Coach of the Year along with one other head coach.
Rivera.
Rivera is 10 to 1, so you're doing very well. He is tied for fourth best odds.
Pete Carroll
is 12 to 1, so you guys are nailing all the guys ahead of Gus right now. There's one more or two more that you haven't named, and one of them is tied for the top spot. One final guess each. What you got?
Jay Gruden.
Jay Gruden, incorrect, sir. Jay Gruden's 50 to 1. Tony.
Tied for the best odds.
Tony for the win.
Tied for the best odds.
Scoop the pot right here.
O'Brien.
Oh, no. He's 50 to 1 as well.
Going the wrong way.
They were division champs. I don't know what, if they win 10 this year and win the division again, I don't know if that.
So who else is up and coming?
The guy
allegedly.
In Minnesota, why can't I think of
Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, Zimmer,
tied for number one.
There we go.
You got Arians.
He won the division,
Zimmer,
too.
He did, right. Maybe they're and Coach of the Year is usually a regular season award, right? Those get voted on, I believe, at the end of the regular season. So anything you do in the postseason doesn't factor in. They did win the division. Arians and Zimmer tied with the best odds. McCarthy, Belichick, and Rivera tied at 10 to 1. Pete Carroll tied with Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin at 12 to 1. And then you got Gus Bradley tied with Jack Del Rio at 18 to 1. So Gus is a top 10 candidate, according to our friends at Bovada, to win Coach of the Year this year.
If they won 10 games in the AFC South, he'd be a strong contender.
Top three candidate, something like that.
But they'd have to do that. And look, for him to be in the middle of the pack, that's okay. That's about where he should be, probably.
Did you see the NFL's top 25 breakout prospects the other day on ESPN? Who would you say is the Jaguars' number one breakout prospect?
What do they
this year
consider a breakout?
I don't know.
Fowler, I guess.
Let's see. Every year, Football Outsiders puts together a list of the NFL's best and brightest young players who have barely played. Fowler's a good one. I don't know. I think these are guys who have played a little bit and have a chance to make a much more significant contribution. There's only 25, so every team doesn't have one. You want me to spoil the suspense?
Sure.
Marquise?
Rashad Green is the Jaguars' candidate, or the guy that they listed on here. They said Green was James Winston's security blanket at Florida State, catching balls in tight coverage, getting vertical with ease against college corners. At 5'11", 182, it's hard to project him as an outside receiver, but he definitely has a chance as a shifty slot receiver. The Jags haven't seen much from Marquise Lee yet, and Blake Bortles could use another reliable target over the middle. Green will have to improve on last season's 53% catch rate to be that target. More like, again, Marquise Lee, we don't see him on the field, but he had a very good earlier part of the offseason. Who ends up more impactful in the passing game this year, Rashad Green or Marquise Lee?
I think Green will. He'll probably be out there a little bit more. You know, Marquise, if he's healthy and back out there, he's going to be a home run, you know, target.
Right. Field stretcher, hopefully.
Yeah, so he may not have as many catches. I think Rashad will be, you know, definitely when Lee is slow to, you know, come back, you know, Rashad would stay would be in the slot because Hearns would stay outside. So I think Rashad is in line for a good year. He's never going to be a guy who averages 14 or 15 yards a catch, but he needs to be a little bit better than the 6 or 7 he was at last year.
I don't understand on this list. I certainly understand some of the guys that are on here. The top
Tom
guy,
Brady.
David Johnson's a top guy. I would argue he broke out in the second half of last year.
Watch him?
Right. He was pretty damn good last year. But Henry Anderson of the Colts had a nice season going, then he got hurt, and that seems like a reasonable option. Thomas Rawls didn't play a ton last year, but had a couple of brief glimpses. I think he had a 200-yard game in there. But Brett Hundley.
I heard that one on the radio.
What in the world? But how's Brett Hundley going to break out? He's not going to play a snap. Aaron Rodgers.
They just have nobody young up there?
He played zero. And they don't have to have one from every team on this. There's only 25 players they're listing, and they list him as the number 7 guy on this list.
Mike, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Hundley tore up the preseason, completing 69% of his passes with 7 touchdowns and 1 pick.
It's almost watch out, Aaron.
Well, it's the preseason.
It's almost like they felt they had to have a Packer on there.
I guess. Seems weird. But at least, you know, somebody at least recognizing that Rashad Green did some good things and, man, could hopefully make a big impact in that punt return game like he did last season. You get him healthy for a full year. You know, we focus so much, Ryan, about, you know, defense, offense, all those things, you know. If you can flip field position like he was able to do on a couple of occasions last season, the Jags haven't had that out of a guy consistently in a long, long time.
Yeah, and there's going to be opportunities to return kickoffs in addition to punts. I think
maybe more this year than last year, right?
I talked to Corey Grant about that earlier this week, and I said, "What's you know, we haven't played a game yet. What do you think? How is this going to go?" He said they've talked about it a lot, and says he goes with as much speed as coverage teams have now with their linebackers. He goes, I think I'm going to get more chances.
Jay Gruden came out and said we're absolutely going to try to kick it inside the 5 and make him return it.
You know, Sean Payton said this is going to have the opposite effect. There are going to be more collisions. So, and it's so I think that's going to be a very interesting thing to track during the preseason because the teams are going to try different things.
Who asked Gus yesterday about that? He gave him the look like.
Oh, well,
like,
well.
Somebody did. Doesn't matter.
I have to set it up.
All right.
A certain columnist in this market has been asking about special teams for a couple weeks. So now we sort of like piled on that. So I asked about Ficken, my boy.
Yes, you did.
I said, big leg. And then Mark.
Big kicking Ficken.
And then Mark asked about the kickoff thing, which, you know, Gus sort of said, I could see it both ways.
Right.
So, but one thing is going to depend on, okay, if you're playing the Vikings and Cordarrelle Patterson, you're probably just going to just try and kick it out of the
stadium. Right. So, you got a dangerous guy. If you think you can stop any, really, people say, well, if you can stop inside the 20, well, now it's the 25, you know? So if you can hang it up there and get it to come down just shy of the goal line and you can stop them before the 25, that's a plus for your team out there. But Gus was kind of like, what, I'm going to tell you? Like, how many times are you going to kick it inside the 5 or kick it through the back of the end zone?
We did it like he did it with his little, you know, humorous.
Oh, he did, right. It wasn't like he was angry or anything like that. He was just like, come on, I'm not going to tell you that. All right, coming up, we got this date in football. We got the Honda driver on the NFL. We're going to hear some from Dave Caldwell last night filling in for Gus Bradley on the coaches show. Also, Malik Jackson meeting with the media after practice yesterday with Ryan O'Halloran, with Fat Tony and Tyler Devin. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today on a Friday brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now,
This date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, August 5th, let's go back to 1959. The Chicago Cardinals beat who in an exhibition, Ryan? How about the Toronto Argonauts? You are not going to get it, all right?
I was going to say the Pittsburgh Stags.
There you go, the Stags. the Toronto Argonauts, 55-26. We mentioned earlier this week, Tony, there was a period of about 11 years when the NFL played six exhibitions against the Canadian Football League. They won them all. In fact, another one was played on this date in 1961, the Bears knocking off the Alouettes 34-16. Shortly after that, the Hamilton Tiger Cats beat the Buffalo Bills from the AFL, and then they stopped going up there.
That's enough.
Right? We've had enough. The 33rd NFL Chicago All-Star Game played on this date. Green Bay whacking the Collegiate All-Stars 38-0. 1967. First time an AFL team beat an NFL team. It was in the preseason. Okay, people think, and we brought this up in the past, Joe Namath didn't force the merger. The merger was on its way, and in 1967, the two leagues, the AFL and the NFL, started playing preseason games head-to-head. The Broncos beat Detroit on this date 13-7. First time an AFL team in any setting, obviously an exhibition game, beat an NFL team. 1978, the New Orleans Saints beat the Philadelphia Eagles 14-7 in the preseason. Why is that significant? Well, it was played in Mexico City at the NFL Expo. Same thing in 96, the Chiefs whacking the Cowboys 32-6 in Monterrey, Mexico. Famous birthdays for this date, born on this date in 1940. Happy 76th to Roman Gabriel, four-time Pro Bowler, a one-time first-team All-Pro. He won the NFL MVP in 1969. First-round pick, first overall pick of the Oakland Raiders in the 1962 AFL Draft. Second overall pick of the L.A. Rams in the 1962 Draft. He opted to go with the Rams over the Raiders. They're also born on this date out of Union County. C.J. Spiller, the ninth overall pick in 2010, made the Pro Bowl once. Really the only season he stayed healthy. Over 1,200 yards for the Bills that year, and has had very little success staying healthy. Already 29 years old. Doesn't seem like C.J. Spiller should be like 26,
right?
Something like that. At least that's the way it feels. But that's what you got for this date in football, brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry in town here on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, maybe you'd like to check out Invisalign. They're a certified provider. The Somnomed Mouth Guard, custom fit, help you stop snoring. 10% discount for all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services or call 620-9225 for Dr. James McCall. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, the NFL, specifically Commissioner Roger Goodell's authority to hand down punishments, was once again upheld by one of the highest courts in the land yesterday. The 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled yesterday that Goodell was within his rights by upholding the 6-game suspension of Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson from a couple years ago. The result means that Peterson will have to pay the league 3 game checks worth $2.1 million. Peterson and the Players Union could appeal the decision, but similar to the Tom Brady ruling from last month, the only court left to appeal to is the Supreme Court, and as with the Brady case, the odds seem low that the Supreme Court would want to hear arguments in this kind of case. How inexperienced are the Dallas Cowboys at quarterback now with the broken right fibula suffered by Kellen Moore earlier this week? The team is giving Tony Romo every third day off after a couple injuries last year, which included yesterday. Head coach Jason Garrett, who spent almost his entire career as a backup quarterback, actually took a couple reps yesterday during practice just to show the other team's quarterbacks, rookies Dak Prescott and Jameel Showers, what it looks like with Romo not out there and available to practice. Actually wrote up Prescott a little bit being the backup quarterback for the Cowboys. You can check that out now at gridironnow.com. Check my Twitter feed or my show page on Facebook, facebook.com/FatTonyShow. Shameless plug over. The NFL preseason gets underway.
More like shameless plugs.
Yes. The NFL preseason gets underway on Sunday night with the Hall of Fame game between the Green Bay Packers and Indianapolis Colts. The Packers are not expected to play either one of their top two quarterbacks on the depth chart in that game. Aaron Rodgers was given the night off from practice yesterday. Head coach Mike McCarthy was non-committal about him playing Sunday night. And Brett Hundley, who's one of the breakout stars apparently in the league this year, has missed a couple practices in a row because of an ankle injury, so he's probably not going to be available Sunday either. That leaves Joe Callahan, a rookie out of Wesley College, and Marquise Williams, a rookie out of North Carolina, at quarterback for the Packers, potentially, on Sunday night. And finally, Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Jordan Matthews left practice today with a left knee injury after taking a low shot from rookie corner Jalen Mills. There's no clarification yet on how serious the injury for Matthews is, but it does sound ominous based on the reports coming out of Philadelphia.
Man, and what was my first thought, Tony? How many leagues do I own Jordan Matthews
Anchor
in?
Anchor down, Jordan.
Just the one. Just the one. I am diversified in my portfolio. Thank you very much. We had a draft last night on SiriusXM. I'm trying to think where Matthews came off the board. I want to say it was probably around round four. Wide receiver, crazy year. Let me tell you, a crazy year for wide receivers at this point, coming off the board, just absolutely flying. There were 15, I want to say, in the first two rounds of the draft. That includes Gronk coming off the board, and I think all the rest were running backs at that point in time.
First Jaguar taken, Robinson.
Easy. Easy Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson will be the first, and then...
What round?
Maybe the first.
First round,
yeah. Back half of the first round, no later than... say pick 15 in the second round in a typical 12-team league. Allen Hurns, probably the next, because there are a lot of great quarterbacks that give you a lot of production. So where Blake Bortles was a very effective fantasy quarterback last year and has a lot of great weapons, Hurns, just because the need to start so many receivers usually comes off the board before him. Then you see Blake. Then you see Ivory ahead of Yeldon when you're deciding between the running backs. And Julius Thomas usually coming off the board somewhere around tight end number 10. Depending on how the league goes with tight ends. But there's a lot of guys that you're like, wow, hey, another Jag off the board in the first six or seven rounds. In the shameless plug department, I will not be at the scrimmage tonight because I've got my SiriusXM fantasy show from 6 to 8. And then Sunday, NFL Radio with Mike Nolan, the former 49ers coach, from noon until 4. So
how's
check
he?
That out. He's good. You know, he's just breaking in. He's got a lot of football knowledge. And you just got to hopefully, my job is to kind of set him up to just run loose and let it go. He's been a defense coordinator for seven different teams,
And a head coach.
And a head coach, right? And infamously was part of the staff that went with Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers. And every time Rodgers' name comes up or Alex Smith's name comes up, he feels like the forces are out to get him. Are you trying to bring this up with me again?
Right.
But he's a good guy.
Alex Smith hasn't exactly had a terrible career, but he's not Aaron Rodgers.
No, granted. Right. And so there you have it. All right. Also, saw this from ESPN.com. I know you guys, we were just talking about it a little bit ago. ESPN.com did a story on the most talented rosters under the age of 25 in the National Football League. Which team has the most talent that's under the age of 25? Jaguars ranked ninth in 2015 in this category. They're number one in this category right
now.
Added
a bunch.
That is not only, you compare that, the Raiders are somewhere in the 20s, right? A lot of people are high on the Raiders. Oh, they've got all this young talent. Well, the Raiders went out and got a lot of, plugged in a lot of veteran guys. The Jags went out and signed free agents as well. But you compare, Deshaun Gibson's, 26, compared to Reggie Nelson, who's, 31, something like that. So there's more young talent, even though Gibson doesn't figure into this calculation here.
Or Bruce Irvin, whatever. Yeah.
Right. Guy Bruce Irvin, a bunch of guys.
Jags are bringing in Gibson and Malik Jackson, right? That's the big splashes there on the defensive side of the ball. They're both 26 years old. Those are young guys going into their second contract.
Right. And in terms of guys, they mentioned Dante Fowler, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Aaron Colvin. Then you go on the defensive side or the offensive side. It says, should be noted, Luke Jokel's not lived up to his draft status yet. Probably never will. This is according to, ESPN here. But right guard AJ Khan can. I know it's can.
It's can.
I was just channeling Olio, cause he went both ways in his answer yesterday or 2 days
Coach
ago.
Olio.
Coach Olio. Did you hear that? Amukamara called Olsen Olio. We're never going to let that go. AJ Khan had a solid season. He ranked eighth in snaps per blown block. That means it took a lot of snaps for him to blow a block, according to the Football Outsiders crew. They highlight Bortles. They said he's hardly efficient last year.
That was according to Football Outsiders?
I'm assuming it's according to Football Outsiders because that's the NFL or the ESPN, stats arm.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus did not like AJ Khan. It's just funny that these two organizations have basically both do player evaluation. Is kind of weird.
Yeah, and that's it is so subjective. But one of the guys that we haven't talked about today is AJ. We have met 8-2 in one-on-ones so far. He's been pretty good against the bull rushes and a lot of the other power stuff.
All right, we got some calls on the line right here, Tyler. I didn't see them, but I had to refresh my board right here, and so let's get to them. 641-1010, before we take a timeout, let's go out to Will on the west side to lead us off this segment. Hi, Will, how are you?
How you guys doing today, man? Great show today, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
First of all, I know we don't talk about religion, but I want to say prayer. I want to pray that what I say, that no Jaguars injured. I want to get that out of the way.
All right.
Now,
I think we're all on the same side of that one, Will, no matter your persuasion, yes.
Yeah, well, a reason I'm saying that, because my question, no jinx, I don't believe in it, but I just wanted to make sure we did that part. My question at the job, what we've been debating on is, who can't we lose? Meaning, a lot of people were saying Blake Bortles at the job. I'm like, no, I think if Blake was hurt, Henny could keep us rolling enough. So that's what I want to know. My choice was Gibson. I think if we lose that safety, that makes the whole back of the defense bad again. So I think if we lose Gibson, that can hurt our whole season. I just want to know what you guys thought. We're here at the job listening, so you know, I just wanted to see what you guys thought, and I hope that I'm the right one, because I am the boss here, so I want to make it look like I know what I'm talking about.
There you go. All right, Will. Thank you, buddy. Shout out to Will and his crew there. It's still Blake to me. I don't care. Hanny's played a lot of football, I know, but to me, the quarterback position is that important, and he is that much better than Hanny, in my opinion. But if you take the quarterback out of the conversation, I think Gibson is definitely a candidate.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to rank three overall, the quarterback is one. I think Fowler is two, just because you don't have a lot of bodies there. And then I think Gibson, I agree with him, would be on that list, high on that list.
Yeah, I don't know if I could find another one that would crack that top three, Tony.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you feel like Chad Henne's a better backup at the quarterback, but a much more experienced and better player at that position than anyone that would come in to play free safety. If Tashaun Gibson got hurt. So if you're talking short term, maybe it doesn't kill him. You know, if they lost Blake Bortles for a game or two, you feel like Henny could keep him afloat. I don't know what the defense would look like without Tashaun Gibson even for a month. You know, I just think it drastically changes what they do on that side of the ball. But Blake is number one. And Tashaun's one of those guys, too. If you're going out to the scrimmage tonight, we're going to have that up high view that we don't get from practice. And it'll be kind of fun to watch that whole defense moving. It's hard for me to even watch a guy like Gibson at practice, because I'm watching the line of scrimmage or the ball or whatever, and then I turn around and I'm like, I guess he did a good job on that play. I really don't know.
And you're trying not to get run over, so you really have to watch the ball when you're at field level. One thing about Gibson I wouldn't mind seeing tonight. Earlier this week, he took a couple snaps in the slot covering Julius Thomas. Did okay. They had Cyprian as a single high on that snap, so maybe they're testing different ways to use Gibson.
All right, let's get one more in before we break here. Samuel is checking in all the way from Lansing, Michigan. Hi, Samuel. How are you?
Daniel.
Okay. What's up?
My question is, they're projecting Miles Jack to be the backup Mike, it sounds like. And with the rule on having one helmet during the season, and usually the Mike is the one that calls the plays, how do they get Paul Posluszny and Miles Jack on the field at the same time? Like, they just not have Miles Jack have a communication device?
Interesting point. My guess is that I'm sure there's somebody who runs that will just cut off one of the receivers. If Jack and Posluszny are on,
so
the field,
gotcha. So he'd have one, but it just can't be on.
So because during the course of a drive, it's not fair for him to start switching helmets.
And that's the thing. The NFL does not want that. You know, this came up. I was reading a story, speculation. Why wouldn't the Jags use an alternative helmet, for instance, or any team for that matter, when they do the color rush uniforms? Why don't they have helmets that are more in line? Why do they use the same helmets? Well, the NFL wants players, in fact, compels them to use the same helmet all year, so it fits perfectly, right? It's part of a safety thing. They don't want you switching between helmets. And on a Thursday night game, this is not the point. This is not, you know, Pop Warner. This is not the high school coach with the spray can just painting the helmets. I know Notre Dame does it every week, but they just put another layer of gold paint on it. You know, it'd be a lot more difficult to do it with an NFL helmet that's designed if you're going to wear the same one. So they want them to wear the same one. So that makes perfect sense that he would already have the device and it would only be activated if he is the guy calling the signals. Mm-hmm. So there you have it, Daniel. Thank you for the call. By the way, on the list that had the Jaguars as the most talented, amount of talent under the age of 25, the Texans were number two, by the way. Tennessee was 11th, and the Dolts were 25th on the list. So, and look, doesn't mean you can't be competitive this year. The Patriots are dead ass last on this list. But as long as Tom Brady is going to play at least a dozen games, it looks like they'll still probably be pretty competitive, I have a feeling.
Tony Khan pointed out on the same list on 2013, the Jaguars were 31st.
Is that right?
So that's a big improvement pretty much since those guys took over.
Yeah, that, well, look, that's why I continue to say, I think there's clear separation in my mind between Dave Caldwell's fate and Gus Bradley's fate. I think most people look at this roster and say talent is there now. There's a much higher level of talent. It's up to the coaching staff to get the results out of that talent now. To me, I don't know what it would take to get Dave Caldwell in any kind of trouble this year. 0-16, I don't know. You know, you get rid of everybody. It's not going to happen, though. Gus could be in danger with a wide range of records this year, depending on how the season plays out. I think Caldwell has put together a growing roster of talent, and I think he's safe, and you'll see an extension coming for him after this upcoming year for sure. All right, let's take a time out here. Let's hear a little bit from Dave Caldwell on the other side, jumping in for Gus Bradley last night on the Gus Bradley Show. You get it every Thursday along with Jaguars Thursday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Don't forget, Midday Chalk will be down at the high school event down at the stadium coming up at noon today, as we'll have plenty of more coverage of that high school media day here for the First Coast. But in the meantime, stick around. Jaguars Today, more to do on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Get your Jags news first. 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
This is Alan Hearns, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Oh, he had the hair in full glory yesterday, by the way, right? That headband is putting everything up there like a, I don't know, like a big old stalk of broccoli or something like that. Alan Hearns is a very distinctive look. He can look any way he likes if he keeps playing the way he's played the first couple of years here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you as we continue along Jaguars Today. Guys, let's get into a little bit of what the general manager had to say last night, as Dave Caldwell filling in the second week in a row. This coach of ours got a lot of convenient walkthroughs, man, getting out of the coach's show the last couple weeks. But Caldwell started in last night on Dante Fowler Jr. and talked about not just having Dante rely on his athleticism anymore, but he's starting to develop a pass rush plan.
And he's starting to develop a little bit of a plan. He's got a ways to go. He's got a ways to go, but he's starting to, you know, use his hands well and dipping his shoulder and turning that edge pretty good. So the one good thing about Dante, too, is that it's just not speed and athleticism. Is when he wants to power you, he can power you.
You know, look, I know Caldwell's a pretty cool customer. I know the team's only won 12 games in his tenure here as well, but got to be a bit of a poop-eating grin going on inside of his head right now, don't you think? Right, as he looks out and he sees Fowler, like, damn, just please get to the season and show everybody.
That's the feeling.
Right?
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Right, fingers crossed. Can we continue to build and progress with these young guys, but get them to the season healthy as a unit?
No doubt. Gus Bradley on Sunday night after practice talked about Aaron Colvin and how good he's been on the field and working with the other guys last week, but they also have to make a decision on what's going to be coming up with the roster when they trim it down to 53 and how they're going to deal with the Aaron Colvin suspension. Dave Caldwell talked about that last night.
Well, it might affect us where, hey, maybe we can keep another linebacker. Maybe we can keep another, you know, if he's our, if you count him as our sixth corner, but it doesn't take up a roster spot. For
so he does not count against your roster spot for the first four games.
Correct. And he'll be on reserve suspended for the first four games. So we'll essentially have 54 players for the first four games. And then on top of Luke Boenko, who will be on PUP, so that's 55. So those guys kind of give us a little homegrown depth that, you know, and then through the season, you're going to have attrition, you know, in the first 4 weeks. Hopefully we don't, but there's a chance that we might have to put somebody on injured reserve. And then you pull Aaron off and the decision's made for you.
Well, it all depends on, during those first four games, does Dwayne Gratz do enough to earn a roster spot as like a backup nickel?
It seems like I hear his name, like he's having a decent camp so far.
He is. It's almost like, okay, maybe they should have tried that earlier. Because he's a strong guy. He can, you know,
press you
inside. So obviously, Colvin doesn't count against the 53 until he comes back for the Chicago game.
Right. Right, any suspended player, that would be the case. This is a big one here. Calvin Beecham missed a couple of practices. Nobody expects him to go in the scrimmage tonight. And as you pointed out, Ryan, if you miss 4 days in a row, heading into next week. How likely is it that he really plays in that first preseason game? Probably not very likely, but this is Dave Caldwell weighing in on what he has seen out of Kelvin Beachum.
Yeah, he's close, and we were very not sure when we signed him if he'd even, you know, the first couple weeks of camp. He's, again, like Brandon, worked. He was doing 2 days in his rehab over the summer and really worked hard. And I think, you know, we have a good plan. Our staff has a good plan of, you know, bringing him along slowly, let him go a couple days, taking some time off, bringing him back on the practice field. So hopefully, like I told him, we got, 5 weeks before we open up with Green Bay. So we got plenty of time there for him.
Yeah, and it was reported that his knee got sore, and you know, a lot of people might overreact to that, but having gone through an ACL reconstruction myself, sometimes the best thing in the world is a couple days off.
Yeah, and the truth be told, there's probably a lot of guys out there that didn't have ACL reconstruction who have sore knees too. So yeah, it's training camp, and I think he'll be just fine. And you know, like we said, we'll take it slow, and our goal is Green Bay.
But that's a big spin going on there, because Greg Olsen has said that they want this set up. They want the starting five established in the next couple of weeks by Cincinnati at the latest. It's not 5 weeks.
Well, you want that, but I also get the sense, Ryan, in talking with Gus and Dave over the summer since they signed Kelvin Beachum, that they feel like they know what he's capable of doing. And let's say 3 weeks from now, it took him that long to really be full go without having to have these days off in between. I think they feel like if he is physically ready to go, he's going to open at left tackle for this football team. Do you agree or disagree?
My question is he going to be physically ready to go?
Well, that's certainly nobody can answer
the other
that question.
The other part I don't think is an issue.
Okay.
The bigger issue is he going to be able to participate?
Well, let me ask you. Let's say he doesn't play until the third preseason game, right? And I'm not saying that's the case whatsoever, right? But let's say he practices maybe 50% of the time, right? Practice a couple days on, a couple days off, and then he's able to go by the third preseason game. In your opinion, is that enough time to cement him, if he, presuming he plays well, cement him as that starter on the left tackle spot?
Yes, because they're going to make sure it is. I mean, if he plays 40 snaps against the Cincinnati Bengals in that third preseason game, that's going to be, I think the only reason he wouldn't start the opener is if he physically can't do it.
Right. So if he can get through that amount of reps and doesn't have any significant setbacks.
Yeah, I think the level of performance is secondary.
It's just a question of health.
Yes.
With Kelvin Beachum. Tony, you agree with that?
I agree, yeah. And I think that's kind of the way they're handling it this week. And I get that it feels like it's a little bit of spin just because of the way they're dealing with the injury with Beachum and the time they're putting him on the field. But I do agree that it's, look, I think they think Kelvin Beachum's going to be their left tackle. And they're treating Luke Jokel like he's going to be their left guard. And it's just a matter of getting him healthy to the season. I think there is a question about whether or not they can get him healthy to the season. But that's the goal. And if it means giving him a couple days off at the beginning of August to help you reach that goal, then it makes a ton of sense to me. Dave Caldwell talking on the Gus Bradley show last night. A bunch of new faces coming into Jacksonville this year. Malik Jackson spoke to the media after practice yesterday. He's one of the guys who's talked about that bullseye being on his back. That comes with a contract like he got to sign. But Caldwell commented on all these guys coming in this offseason starting to show some leadership in that locker room.
Yeah, you know, all in their own way. And, you know, Malik, he is a tough son of a gun, and he's very talented. You know, Tashawn Gibson, he's taken over a little bit of the quarterback role in that back end there. So that's been really good to see. And he is on point with how he prepares, how he gets ready for practice in a game. And, you know, Chris Ivory, you know, he doesn't say much, but his actions speak loudly, and how he practices, how he goes about his business. And, if you have any intelligence or want to get better and you just take a step back and you watch how he approaches the game, you're going to learn from him.
See, I think on offense, they're fine at the leadership spot because I think they got two great leaders in Bortles and Hearns. And you think Linder will emerge.
Hearns the pro's pro, man.
Yeah. So on defense, a little bit different story is, Posluszny is going to be a leader, but more by action. Gibson, I think, is going to be a leader by words. And then that D-line group, there's a lot of personalities in that room. And I think Jackson's fit in well.
I think Jackson and Marks are kind of the guys I would look to for leadership. You know, Derek has earned that here in Jacksonville. I think Malik has earned that as being a key cog on a Super Bowl champion team. I just think Dante's too young. His play may make him the most valuable defensive lineman, but I don't think he's at that stage where
he's a kid.
Right. You know, he's not played a snap in the National Football
League. Don't forget about Telvin Smith. He called that players only meeting. He's got a big voice in that locker room.
That's true.
Like.
Look, they got a lot of guys. And look, it's a young team. So you're going to have young leaders on a young team.
Veterans got a kick out of that.
Did they? With Telvin calling the meeting? Hey, you know what? He's trying, man. I don't know. I don't see anything so wrong with that. You think it's a bad thing?
No, I just thought it was funny.
That is kind of funny. Nick Marshall, Caldwell talked about him.
Dave's boy.
Kind of a forgotten guy. We don't talk much about him in the cornerback competition. Let's hear what Dave said, and then we'll get your thoughts on who the corners likely are when they open the season. Go ahead.
Well, I love the way he's trending. He's continuing to get better, and you know, he's using his length and his size and his physicality at the line of scrimmage, which is good, but he's got exceptional ball skills and he's just really a good athlete. And he's effortless at times. And, for as big as he is, you don't realize how big he is and how well he moves. So really trending in the right direction. And, you know, he could, in this scheme, which fits his attributes, he could be a very good football player for us.
I guess you got to take his word for it. I don't see it. Period.
He's a great athlete. We know that. If you're going to have six corners on the team, okay, and let's count Colvin as one of those six, okay? Obviously, Ramsey and House are going to be there. Colvin, we just named. Dwayne Grotz and Prince Amukamara right now, would you say, are in there?
Well, the way they love Nick Marshall, he's their fifth guy.
He's the fifth guy. Okay, so who would be fourth Amukamara for?
Yes.
Okay. Nick Marshall, five?
Yeah, and then Grotz would be the one who gets on during the suspension.
Okay, so you think
I think they're only going to keep five.
Five. That's the point I'm trying to get a roundabout way. They consider Peyton Thompson a safety, right? And so
five corners and four safeties.
Five corners, four safeties. And you would expect right now Cyprian Sample, some combination at strong, Gibson and Peyton Thompson, it looks like, at free, right?
Yeah. And I think it'd be stunning at this point if it's not Cyprian in week one.
Okay.
Yeah. I would be stunned. They feel, to use a Dave Caldwell term, they feel he's trending up. They feel Samp will struggle in the off season. Gus said as much yesterday. So Samp has some catching up to do, and they feel like Cyprian has taken to his role.
It was interesting the way Gus talked about Samp. Let's see if we can do we have that cut in here? We do. This is cut three from Gus, Tyler. Gus talking about James Sample's progression.
Sample, the last probably four or five practices, in OTAs, he struggled a little bit. He struggled picking up. We thought, okay, here's a great deal. Sam competing in there. And it was separated. It separated itself. Now coming into training camp, boy, you're starting to see Sample really stack up some good practices. And Sip's doing well, too. But, you know, he's really coming along. So that's good. It's kind of what we envisioned in the first place.
Brutally honest in his assessment of James Sample in the offseason.
But there was separation between the two, right.
When he says can't pick it up, I mean, he's going to learn defense.
Right.
So, I mean, Sam's probably a doer. The more reps he gets, the more comfortable he'll feel. What's going to be interesting is if they feel that James is playing well and Cyprian's their starter, is there a package or two or four where they can get Sam on the field? Because he can hit.
Yeah, I got the sense he wasn't saying, even though he was more effusive in his praise of Sample's training camp, I think that sounded to me like it was relative to the way the offseason went. Like, he's really picked it up, and Cyprian's playing well, too. That sounds like more praise for Sample, but I think it's you got to look at the starting point.
Well, and Gus never wants to close the door on any kind of competition, but I think that was his way of saying Sample's doing okay, but Cyprian's our guy.
Gotcha. All right. He is Ryan O'Halloran. He's our guy on this Friday afternoon. Friday morning, I should say. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. If you have a roofing issue, we hope you don't. But if you do, you want it checked out and make sure you don't. Re-roofs, repairs, you name it, Bob Roberts can handle it. Gutter work, they can do anything having to do with your roof. 287-7756 is the phone number. License number CCC-056797. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing Hour, Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Back with a look at the Fan Feedback Spotlight. We'll hear a little bit from Malik Jackson and continue to go around the table talking about tonight's scrimmage. Asking you today, question of the day, what three things are you most looking forward to tonight with the Jaguars scrimmage going down at Everbank? With Fat Tony and Ryan O'Halloran, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Where did you get that Wes Kanin shirt, by the way? I need to get one of those.
It's called the Internet. And on the Internet, you can get about anything you want.
To me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty cool shirt. It's lasted me for a little while. There's a little deodorant on it because I've worn it a few days. And so I put deodorant on stuff when I don't feel like doing laundry. There's no, I've got
you that creative, too, didn't you?
You know, it is. It is. It really is creative. You know, I'm a pioneer, but it's, you know, it comes out. I shouldn't have to say it. So I am a pioneer, though.
That's Jared Odrick on with Charlie Casserly and who is the other guy there, Tyler?
Fellow Hoosier Rhett Lewis. Is he a new guy? NFL Network?
I don't know. I don't know Rhett Lewis. But,
NFL Network is giving
NFL.
Himself
dirty.
Love.
Cutting me? They're getting some
Jaguars
love.
Jaguars are getting some love.
Talking about Jaguars laundry.
Odrick's an interesting dude. You know, he really is an interesting guy. But that seems like his go-to move. You know what? A little smelly, a little extra deodorant, cover that right up. Should be no problem. A little Febreze, whatever. I'm good to go. Ready to go outside. just let them know you play in the NFL, man. That usually probably works. I don't know.
It's hard to tell with a guy like Odrick.
No, it's not.
He looks like an NFL player.
He does look like an NFL player, or maybe a pro wrestler or something right? like that. You know, he's got the look. All right. We will get to some of the fan feedback spotlight coming up here in a minute. Let me just run it down for people who have been asking, calling Tyler at a breakneck pace this morning. For the schedule tonight, gates open at Everbank at 5:30, okay? You first want to go, however, to jaguars.com/family night, and you can print out your free tickets for the scrimmage tonight. Like they do with training camp, if you show up without one, I think you can register there. I would just do it. Go to jaguars.com/family night, print it out. It doesn't cost you anything, and they're just trying to keep track of...
And how much concessions they'll order.
Right, exactly. How many, you know, all those kind of things, so... print out your free tickets there. Gates open at 5:30. Warm-up start. They don't start at 6:18. They do not start at 6:20. 6:19 is when warm-up start tonight. 7:03 for introductions and the official kickoff time, or start time, I should say, of the scrimmage/practice is 7:30.
Fireworks show following.
Fireworks to follow. Family Friday family fireworks. Where have I heard that before?
Hey
now. Let's get to Malik Jackson before we get to the fan feedback spotlight. There's Malik talking yesterday after practice. And, you know, Malik, I think, has come in, as they talked about, got him trimmed down a little bit. They like what they've seen out of him, and was asked yesterday what he has seen out of the two young pass rushers, Dante Fowler and Yannick Ngakoue.
I think him and Dante and Yannick are like the same player. You know, definitely have speed, high motors, high energy. They're very smart. They take coaching very well. You know, me and Yannick have been working on games to go out there and do, and just the way he kind of just absorbs it in, and we can go out there and do it without even talking to each other is awesome. So, you know, I think they're the same player. A lot of upside, so we just got to get them right.
He's been a guy that's, you know, for a third-round pick, has drawn some considerable buzz as well in Ngakoue. What have you seen from him, Ryan?
I've been impressed. You know, really play, really practices hard. You see him running downfield even when the play is blown dead. But he looks like he has a nice little variety of moves as well. And you're going to see him a lot. If this team can stop the run, you're going to see a lot of pass rushing situations where those two guys are your bookends.
No doubt about it. Malik Jackson speaking after practice yesterday. Also a story coming into training camp about how much weight he lost getting ready for training camp last week. Talked a little bit about losing that weight yesterday.
Just diet, and really just, you know, when I left, Coach Wash told me, you know, I really need to work on slimming down and cardio. So that when I went home, those are two things I really worked on that really stuck in my mind. So just eating right, you know, working out, getting in the steam room and sauna, you know, infrared sauna and all that stuff, and just taking it seriously.
Now, we heard Malik talk a moment ago about Ngakoue and comparing him to Fowler, similar type players. He wasn't quite as effusive about Ngakoue as you're going to hear him talk about Dante Fowler right here.
Dante, young guy, a lot of speed, a lot of energy. Definitely has the skills to be great. You know, we just got to keep working. A lot of talent.
This kind of, you kidding? A lot of talent. It's evident, man. You see it, and it kind of jumps off the field at you. It really stands out when you see him. Just, it looks like a different guy.
And it'll be interesting as we get into the preseason and Dante gets on the football field a little bit to be able to talk to Malik, who was on a defensive line last year where Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware are guys rushing from the outside. And I don't expect, you know, Dante Fowler Jr. to be either one of those guys here in his first year on the field, but to get an idea of what he saw athletically from those guys and how similar it is, perhaps, to what he's seeing from a guy like Dante Fowler Jr. Malik also said he's excited for the scrimmage tonight over there at Everbank?
You know, it's nice to go a little cooler, you know, get under the lights a little bit, you know, have fans be able to come out and check us out, you know. So it'll be fun. It'll be nice. And I'm excited to go after, you know, show the fans who I am and who this team is for the first time.
Ah, can't wait. All right, the question of the day, what are you looking forward to as a Jaguar fan? The top three things you'll be looking for at tonight's scrimmage, Tony. Twitter said what?
Let me pull it up here. From Richard, we got Bortles to Robinson, touchdown, Dante Fowler's spin move sack, and Jason Myers missed extra point. You're looking forward to that, Richard?
He's just trying to keep it real.
From Alvaro, Dante Fowler, Blake Bortles, and Miles Jack, just naming the three players he'll be watching tonight. From Justin, exactly what defensive coordinator said, toughness, effort, and discipline. From Jay, one, seeing anyone that tries to cover A-Rob get frustrated. Two, Blake's improvement. And three, Dante Fowler Jr. From Jarrell, the new club seats, Dante Fowler Jr. and green slime. Nickelodeon going to be out at the ballpark tonight. From Will, it being over, post-cliche quotes, and Terrence's analysis on Twitter.
Oh, we all await that.
From Dr. Duval, we got the speed on defense, how much rotation Miles Jack gets in with the starters. From Johnny, number one, D-line play, specifically Unique and Sheldon Day. Number two, Ramsey and Jack. And three, Finch versus Myers, the kicker battle there. So that's what we got.
All right, that's what you got right there. Here's a few on Facebook. Kevin said, I'm excited about the new defense and how the O-line looks. More than anything, though, I'm looking to see if Blake comes out fast and if he looks to be taking another big step in year three. Josh said, pass rush, Dante and Unique, 2016 draft class overall, Jalen Miles and Sheldon, and the 2016 free agent class as well with Malik Tayshaun and Ivory. Team cohesion, team attitude. And overall progress. I don't know how you're going to see the attitude. They're going to be fired up because it's, you know, it's how you are every preseason. But that's what Christopher is looking for tonight. Damon wants to see Blake Bortles, Fowler, and Jalen Ramsey, those three guys, staying healthy. Luke looking solid and not solid at guard. And Blake looking sharp. That's from Derek. And then Jalen, Jack, and Bortles. I'm telling you, you're going to want to see Dante Fowler Jr. Just if you haven't been out, if you've been out to practice, you know what we're talking about. If you haven't, then you'll see it for yourself tonight if you get there. Again, gates open at 5:30. Print out your tickets at jaguars.com/family night.
Can't wait.
What are you looking forward to? Are you writing specifically about something tonight, or are you just letting the stories kind of come out naturally and seeing what direction it takes?
Half and half. I'll write the main story. It will be mostly what have we learned so far, and sprinkle in some details tonight. And then Hayes will have, basically, if somebody makes a play in the first 5 minutes, there's your story. So we'll pick one player. But
did Hayes just somehow get thrown under the bus right there?
That's our punchline. Oh, okay. It's like you always want to establish what the story is right away.
Gotcha.
Each year at this thing, we try and keep stats, and it fails miserably. We're going to try again tonight.
Good luck with that. All right. He is Ryan O'Halloran. Check him out in the Florida Times Union and at Jacksonville.com.
Yeah.
There you go. Oleo. Hey.
Coach Oleo.
We got it all. Is this the mixed version right here? I like it. All right. This is our new bump to end the show. At least for today, it is. Thanks today to Ryan O'Halloran, for Fat Tony, Tyler Coach Devitt, Oleo. Joe Fortunato, Coach Oleo. Glad we got to hear from Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell, little Malik Jackson. Who else? Coach Oleo. There you go. I love it. I'm starting to get the pattern right here. A little more to stay in the time. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to our friends Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, and Coach Oleo as well. The most popular now coordinator on the team, other than Todd Wash.
It's me every time.
No, it's so simple and stupid, but so are we. What are you going to do? Midday Chalk coming up next. They're at the high school kickoff media day down at the stadium, and they'll have full coverage of that for you coming up on the other side right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.